your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him? He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with ice off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning, I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days, then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above, because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs, you ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust, for you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah I may slip, but God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you got a chance, cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky, and make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above, because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs, you ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust, for you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You got a reason to praise God today. You can hear me or you can see me later on. You know, it's a blessing. I mean, you know, it's something. I tell you, we are truly, truly, truly blessed. Amen. Giving honor to the Lord God Jehovah, to his mighty Son, Jesus Christ, and the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor Omar, producer, his lovely wife, and my brothers and sisters that run of Christ Ministries, and all the saints and friends that are listening here and there now, and maybe some of y'all after the rapture. Amen. This will be here for you. Amen. Thank God for another exciting training day. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made. And as I said, we got good reason. Amen. I look around the world, you know, of what's going on in all the nations that are getting flooded. I mean, we got a little flood here in Detroit, but it didn't wipe out half the city and didn't tear down no homes. You know, they got some basement flooded and some people getting their free remodeling, really. So they really coming out on the blessed end. Amen. But, you know, I just thank God. You know, right now, it's challenging times. And a lot of things people don't understand, but they don't understand because they don't spend time with God. Now, I'm convinced that a lot of it could be avoided or minimized or something because, You know, we serve the same God, the same God that is in the Bible with the same, even greater level of authority. We actually have more power than they had in the Old Testament. We have God on the inside in a way that they did not have. Amen. But let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for even this privilege, Lord, of being able to come before your throne. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this opportunity with your own blood. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for being our guide, our comforter, our strength. Amen. In these challenging times. Father God, we're asking that you bless us, amen, with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding even more so that we would better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father, strengthen us with might and our inner man, as yet there are still many as we go on that are having to deal with bereavement and the passing of loved ones. Amen. Comfort their hearts, strengthen their hearts, heal their broken hearts, because you are the only one that can. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work approved by you so that we can walk upright before you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we ask that you bless my tongue be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe this time we're going to conclude. I don't know. Been talking about, amen, being led out of how and why to be led of the Spirit. You know, because bottom line is everything that you think outside of God really is going to become non-existent. And we draw, each day we draw closer to that. I think that's a reality that people are not really giving strong consideration to, and they really need to, despite all that's going on. You know, I hear more and more about these meteors headed toward the earth, you know, and the Bible prophesied one particularly in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation called Wormwood. And if you look it up now, they named it, NASA named it Apophis, which is a destructive god, which in essence, that's what it is. But it comes as a form of judgment. And if it is that particular one, it gives us a timeline, particularly. And the reality is as I've been saying, for some new people, you know, this particular program is based on looking at the fact of our creation, the spirit man, the God man, God with a little g. When God created Adam, he did not put a minor spirit in him. He did not, it would seem as though he put a lesser spirit, but what he did was create an environment that would lessen what that spirit could do, because we do not understand the fullness of its capability. I mean, I was taught that you got to pay attention to detail in the Bible. And a lot of times that's very critical, because then you will notice things and then you have to wonder why. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says that, you know, the secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed belong to us. But we already know there are things God knows that we can't comprehend. So for him to highlight that there are some secret things, meaning that we should at some point want to know those things. But now, if they are secret, it's because they are hidden for those who lack the maturity to properly handle them. And we've seen through history how important that is. You know, we've had, as they say, many revivals and movements of God in history, but they've ceased because the men that they were given to got out of control. See, we're dealing with an opposition. You know, man, as I repeatedly said, the highest IQ last I know was 246. And Satan is about 2,500. I mean, the only way to overcome him, you have to have access to a greater intelligence, which is the Holy Spirit, which has no limit. And this is the reasoning for that is because outside of your body, if you were to be outside your body, you would have tremendous power. And there's no question that, again, like I say, if you look through history, men with power tend to be corrupt because they tend to think that they are above all. They're the end all to be all. You know, I remember reading, I believe it was Flavius Josephus in his account of Caesar and how he came into power and how with Caesar, you know, he sounded just like any politician we hear today. If I take over, then I'm going to do this for the people, and I'm going to do that for the people. And then when he got in office, you know, I hate to say this, but the lady Cleopatra convinced him that he was a god, small g, and it went to his head, and his whole demeanor changed. And he became a kind of a cruel taskmaster after that. He started out good, but he didn't end up good. And it resulted in a conspiracy of him dying. And the uniqueness about it is that each Caesar in succession said and did the same thing. And none of them turned out good. They each started out, I'm going to do this for the people. I'm going to do that for the people. And then when they get in there, one particular said, I'm God. There's none above me. And that didn't work out well for him. See, see, because we don't have this experience outside the body until you die. Some people have had the experience outside. And even those that have had it, God didn't let them, did not expose them to the level of power. He just showed them the other realm. Amen. Which you can see in Mark chapter 9 and see, look into the other realm, because it's there for people to see, and people struggle with that. See, but again, like I said, that tells you we're not dealing with what is common to man, what you see on an everyday basis. You have to acknowledge that there is a supernatural realm, and you are a supernatural person, and you're in training to learn. See, this is why. I mean, look at the thickness of the Bible. Look at all the laws. We're going to go through some of them in there today. Amen. Talking about, they all deal with relationships in one form or fashion or another, or can deal with all relationships. But they're there to monitor your behavior. And in the process, we illustrate to God what we will do with full power. You know, I mean, there's a situation that I frequently refer to in Luke chapter 16. There are two rich men. You know, one is Abraham, and history say the other one, historians say the other gentleman's name is Diabetes. I've heard different names, but anyway it go, the fact of the matter is they're dead, okay, and there's an event that's going on. One, you look at the intellectual level. You got a 500-year gap between the two individuals. And yet, the one that died the most recent, which was Diabetes, looked across this great distance and saw Abraham. Now, Abraham didn't have a hat on saying, I'm Abraham, you know, the father of faith. He didn't have a specific garment or a T-shirt on saying, I'm Abraham. And even Lazarus, you know, they weren't identified. But once you leave this body, the intellectual limits and comprehension are gone. See, they say we use a certain amount of our brain. I understand that. You know, control the wiring network on that aspect, okay? I'm going through some right now. You know, I keep having to find out the hard way that my body is, I'm relearning it. I'm having to regain control over the muscles. You know, they're the same muscles, but, you know, they were damaged, traumatized, and then they had to go in and surgery and replace some parts. And now I have to reconnect with those. So, like I said, but then in the next life, where Jesus is, or if Jesus is now, he wouldn't have to go through that process because he wouldn't break a hip. You know, he have complete control of the gravitational forces, complete control of the molecular atmosphere. And God wants to give us that power. Listen how it reads here. You know, it says in 1 John 3:2, it says, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God. What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You know, generally when we read that, you know, I know some of our brethren teach that that just means we just gonna have our body is just not gonna evaporate and get old like it does now and tired, and we're just gonna walk around on earth. No, it is what it says it is. I mean, the simple fact that you can, you know, open and close your hands, send 10 million signals to billions of cells, and they all do what you say without you even verbalizing a command to tell you something. You know, I heard that years ago, and I didn't quite get it. But it sticks with me as we get to that period, because there's this other event. When Jesus comes back, he will be on this planet for 1,000 years. For you young folks, and I really want to impact you, despite all you see that's negative that's going on in the world with the volcanoes and the flooding and the hailstorms and all that, don't let that depress you, because we get to come back. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we leave with the rapture before the worst of the worst come. And it is going to get worse. You can read the book of Revelation from chapter 5 on, and you'll see how bad it's going to get, and you don't want to be here for that. But when you, as you go on, if you read it, you'll find that comes, when Jesus come back, there's a 1,000-year period on this planet. Now think about that. That time, Satan and his gang is locked up. Okay? So he's not out infiltrating and causing aggravation, but he still exists. Now mind you, he's locked up, but God let him exist for a purpose, just like he serves a purpose now. Now, so what happened is you got people that survived a tribulation period. You don't want to go through that. But anyway, all right, so they come through the tribulation period. Now, we at the rapture have been transitioned into the person that I've been recently telling you about, you know, just told you about, a supernatural being where you're no longer controlled by gravity. You at will can travel anywhere at a speed beyond, at the speed of thought, really. I mean, it's really phenomenal. You know, when we think about what that means being able to travel at over 186,000 miles per section, but 880,000 miles per second, but the friction up against your body would not cause you to evaporate. If you did that now, you burn up. I mean, that's why most meteors, when they hit our atmosphere, they burn up because of the speed. See? So we're talking something tremendous here. I know it's beyond. I know it's slow to get into the heads of people. And the reason I know it's really slow, I've only heard maybe in my lifetime two, maybe three pastors even hint at this particular situation. I watched my pastor one day. He talked about it in the. And when he saw the look on people's faces in the congregation, he said, okay, y'all not getting this. So he went on to something else. But it was about, look what people do with money. Money is a tell to God what you would do with power. And I mean, look at what we do. You know, there's a man in prison right now. He had a treatment for, I believe, diabetes, and he, once he got control of the company, he jacked the price up 1,300%. Why? So he can have more money. Money is a fictional apparatus that we use for trade. And he let it, it became a god to him. Look at how much idolatry is going on in the world. And that occurs because God is not primary in their thinking. That's the key there. And this is what you spend your life doing. And there are, God permits, like I say, why let the devil exist? You know, if you ask people, I tell you what, you ask some men of God, some women of God, they'll tell you, who knows how the who knows the mind of God? Well, you know, why would he say he'll tell you all things? You know, that's what John said. That's what John wrote down in the book of John. You know, he even tell you things to come. He shall teach you all truth. All truth. Jesus didn't lie. It's just that the truth is so heavy that most people don't want to pick it up. They want fiction. They want something that they can really relate to. But it relates to the fact of why we have to manage our behavior according to the word. Now, that's a distinct difference. See, there's good people and there's godly people. Godly people make it a business to adhere to the word. And we're going to look, let's start with Jesus' brother. I like Jesus, but I know some people say that ain't Jesus' brother. You know what? We're going to go with Jesus' brother. We're going to stick to that. This is in James chapter 1. We talked a little bit about this. We're just going to talk a little bit more about this. And James chapter 1, verse 20, 21. 19 and 20. Anyway, and particularly this is what caused people to lose jobs. Recently somebody lost a job over this very issue. He says, my dear brother, take note of this. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Okay. It's something to that aspect. Because right now, you know, here in the Detroit area, you know, it was a while that, historically in America, Arizona, you know, who have been able to carry weapons for a long time, was known as the road rage capital of the nation. But recently, here in Detroit, there's been a lot of road rage incidents. Now, come on now, people shooting at each other, killing each other. And believe me, they have no idea. They think that they're not being seen. Plus, they're not aware that there are many Christians that understand how prayer can be used to catch them. Because we can command angels to get involved with the police in their investigation and get witnesses and lead them, guide them to the person. And if you watch some of this, you'll see some of them get caught quickly. And I've seen it by having worked in the jail. I would listen to them. You know, they just were so sure they could beat it on some kind of technicality, not knowing what had occurred. I remember talking to a young man, and I told him particularly because I asked him, was his mother a Christian? And he said, yeah. I said, you're a marked man. You might as well live right. That's something I take for myself because, you know, I said, think about it. You went and committed an act. There was absolutely nowhere around, so you thought. But the police came, and you figured in all of Detroit, as big as it is, they wouldn't fight you. But they came straight to you. See, plus there's the other aspect. Satan, he, if you're a Christian, he don't forget that. I mean, he don't like you because you're human. He definitely don't like you if you're a Christian. So when you commit a crime, he going to snitch you out. So you got Satan on one end snitching you out. And then you got the saints of the Most High God praying that God will send angels and the Holy Spirit to guide police to help them locate the person responsible. You can't win in a situation like that. But this is what's supposed to be happening. And this hasn't been happening for a long time, but it's happening more now. Why? Because we're becoming better educated as Christians, you know, at least in America. I mean, as bad as it is, it would be worse. But again, let me get back to this point here. The road rage is because what? They come on now. It ain't like somebody purposely tried to wreck them. You know, that's one thing to defend yourself. But see, they just decide they can do this. They just quick. And then people, I mean, they go in a restaurant and somebody bump into them and they pull out a gun. And then you get into the marriage situation. You know, marriage, Satan already know that two people married together hold some power that he can't, that in order for him to override it, he has to break the power flow. So what do? He find little aggravating situations, you know, that that he can provoke with. And before you know it, they're arguing with each other. And now, how many times have people that argued and said, "What were we arguing about?" I don't know. We just see, this is about, like, again, this is about mental, spiritual management. It's spiritual. You must manage your spirit, man. Now, fortunately, God is merciful, okay? And he know we're going to go through these, but you want to avoid the setback because, this don't just happen in a vacuum. It don't happen for no reason. A lot of times when you got things that you're believing God for, see, the devil will come up, amen. He'll send one of his little homies to try to provoke you to get out of the will of God so he can tell the angel bringing your blessing. Now, he can't get it right now because of this. Or he said that, or he did this. See, there's always something. You can't not think about the spiritual realm. That is more real. As a matter of fact, when Jesus come back, that's it. That's where we're going to live at. That's where we're going to live at. Now, as far as interaction, like I say, let's look at another one. Let's go back in history and look at one. And let's go to Proverbs 13:13. I'm going to just look at a couple of them to show that, again, there's a continuity of thinking throughout history. It says, "He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded." Now, again, you got to read, saints. You got to read young, particularly young, old, you know, what's the date today, the 19th, the 20th. Read Proverbs chapter 20. "Is a proverb a day to help you keep the devil away?" You know, again, this same thing. This is he who scorns instruction. He a person that don't want to go to church. They can't tell me nothing. See, but then you're not going to know that you need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Because, again, God, it could inhibit a lot of some things that God may want to be doing in your life, period. And you need instruction. You definitely need instruction. You need the word of God. We're going to talk a little bit about that because you cannot follow the spirit of God without his word. They're not there inseparable. God's word and his spirit are in unison. Jesus, Father, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, always linked together. They always go together. They always stick together. And it's about learning that continuity. And as I said last week, God will raise the bar. When you get good in one area, count on getting tried at a higher level. But what happens over time, no matter what happens, you learn to stop, think, let the word come forth, and begin to pray. I mean, you may have to pray for you. You may have to pray for them. Let's look at another one, Proverbs chapter 14. We're not going to go far. 14, I believe, 14, 17. "A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated." You know, in the registry room, in the jail, they have an area called registry where everybody goes when they first get booked in. And so many times, you know, we had this, what they call it, when they started the domestic violent law, I was surprised, at not only the amount of people that got arrested, but I remember looking at this very clean-cut, well-dressed individual, and somehow I knew he was a pastor. And, you imagine how you look in jail. I mean, it's like people can tell, really. I mean, you can tell. It's like Christians in jail. They stand out like a sore thumb. I mean, they proper. You know, they use a word called serve, you know, and that really stands out. And, you know, that was part of my job, to minister to them, to get back up on that horse and ride it again. But anyway, I was shocked at seeing them. I really was. You know, I mean, we're not talking about new classes. We're talking about people that have been pastoring a while. And how do you forget? You know, at some point, like I said, we've been married 40 years. You know, I've learned, I just heard somebody say, one thing about the Holy Spirit is not about just speaking in tongues, about shutting your mouth, you know, something like that. But it is, because what it is, what does he use to manipulate you? The pride of life. Oh, man, and when I say something, that's what it's got to be. Man, that's a woman. That's God's daughter. You know what? And they'll let them emotions go, and boy, and before y'all know it, y'all be at each other's throat. You know what? Take somebody. Somebody got to pull the gas from the fire. Somebody got to let it go. You know? Anyway, but what they say, quick-tempered man. You quick temper. Why? You have to get there. To get there. You know what you first have to do? The first thing you have to do is ignore God. That's the first thing you have to do, which tells you the solution. If the first thing you do is include God, exalt God in that moment, you know, and that was a biggie for me. Because if I do that, if it did not bother God, then it didn't bother me. Because men like approval from men, particularly. Men like approval from strong men. That's why men do a lot of stuff they do. They like approval from men. They like to be looked, you know, that's just part of their ego. It is natural for them, okay? But to me, see, I exalt God above it all. It took a while. If it didn't bother him, then he laid it out for me. If it ain't illegal, if it ain't immoral according to God's standard, don't argue. Just agree. You know, back in the day, my wife, she used to love to move the living room around for some reason or another, whatever reason or another. I mean, it's anyway, I mean, this was like weekly, you know. I didn't have to do it. She did it. But the thing about it is, I like walking in the house at night. I would be on the afternoons, and I'd walk in the house. And then, you know, you got your memory on how the house set up. So you walk in there, I walk in there, I'm falling over stuff, you know, and when you hit your toes on something, you know, unless you're full of the Spirit of God, you know, the first thing out of your mouth. And anyway, you know, it's like, why? But if it ain't illegal and it ain't immoral, let them have their way, you know. You come in there, you open up the dish, the little tray that has the silverware in it. One day it's forks, then knives, then spoons, and the next time you come in, it's spoons, then forks, then knives. If it ain't illegal, and it ain't anymore. Why? This is still, but you can use this principle in every other part of life. I mean, when you get to working around people, see, again, this is addressing what? How I control my spirit. You go back and you read in the Bible, and you notice a lot of times. Now, Jesus, he did say something. He had a problem with religious folk. They were supposed to be right. Had no love in their heart. Full of the word, no love. You know, like Apostle Paul, who later on began to understand that it was about love. He was full of the word, but not love. That's what you find with religious people. See, again, every aspect of this life, you know, Galatians 6:1, if a brother be caught in a fault, you with your spiritual restore that you want. Why? Because it may be a brother that you don't particularly care about. But when you're talking about being led of the Spirit, you're talking about walking in the Spirit, and you're talking about submitting to God, that's when you're going to have to shake yourself and submit.
shake yourself and submit. Now, let's go look at some of the key factors that will help you and see how we close within Psalm 119. Oh, no, we're not. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. Remember last week we was talking with David, and you noticed that he made it his business. Now, that's the other aspect. It's not, you know, because I remember when this journey began and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I would, even though I had never been around people like this, so I thought maybe they would be different than other human beings, other Christians, you know. And then I found out they weren't, which was surprising because I remember the experience, okay? But a lot of people been baptized in the Holy Spirit and just didn't know it. Okay. But again, what are we talking about? We're not talking about what you feel. We're talking about revelation that you get from God that oftentimes is so condensed with so much information that you only get the revelations a little at a time as you can handle it. And that's a deep subject in and of itself. See, these are things that Jesus is going to really be teaching us during that 1,000 years that I was talking about. And that's why I missed that. Thank God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for taking me back down that trail. The reason we're going to have a 1,000-year period is not the party is for 7 years. When the rapture leave comes, we go to a 7-year party. That 1,000 years is because you're going to get 1,000 years to practice being supernatural. Experience, and you're going to have an interaction with people that are general humans, and you're going to be supernatural, and you're going to have to deal with them the same way Jesus dealt with you, and the part of that begins right now. See, right now. This is why when you go to church, the priest is always talking about righteousness and holiness, and I mean, this is what that's about. They're not just trying to control your life. They're not trying to kill your fun. They're trying to tell you, this is the way God wants us to live, and we're going to live this way eternally. Remember a lot of the things that you think you might want to do are not going to exist then. You know, it's one of the saddest moments. I'm trying to figure out a way around it. they ain't around no drag racing that I know of. You know, I just like the noise. It's kind of fun, you know. But a lot of things that people make such a priority now are not going to exist. One, you know, I can't imagine a supernatural baseball player. You know, he hit the ball and they go to Venus. You know, it'd be a whole different game. You know, a whole different. We don't know what that's going to be like, but we know it's going to be tremendous. Now, I'm looking at Psalm 119. This is one, a verse that I've heard quoted since I've been, you know, saved, you know, and it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, there it go right there. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot make this journey. You cannot make this journey without the word of God. And even back then, they had the word. That's one of the primary jobs of prophets. The prophets spend time with God, just like your pastors spend time with God, your ministry staff spend time with God, getting revelation of the word, and then they break it down and analyze it and give it to you, just like I'm trying to share with you now in practical terms that you can use it for in your daily walk. See, you can use this for your benefit. You manage this. And yes, you can apply this to your business. See, everything, you know, God wanted so you can have, as he said in 1 Timothy 6:17, that he give you all things to enjoy. He wants you to have it all. It is not like as though, you know how, you know, you got these group of people, these monastery monks that just want to shut their life off. That God never told anybody to do that. And because Jesus did it, Jesus came to save us. That was an absolute necessity, okay? Now, he just didn't have time. He didn't have time to waste. A lot of us, you can enjoy some things, you know. I mean, I'm going to enjoy some things. I'm enjoying some things, you know. But he'll show you how to get these things done. Because, again, in the atmosphere and the other realm, is Satan trying to block you from getting all the things that you get in joy. See? So let us read let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, another scripture that I heard that the people, I think they again, treat it as a cliche because I find many people know it. They've heard it. They've been to church. Your pastors relate to it, and I think they forget what he say after he used this particular scripture. But it's talking about the word, because you have to remember when Paul was writing this to Timothy, the church was in its infancy, and he's trying to get them in alignment with God. And he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, first thing he's telling you, what are we talking about? We're talking about being led in the spirit. What spirit? The spirit of God. Okay, again, you know, in Romans chapter 12, he say, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present yourself to God as living sacrifice. And then he goes on, he said, be changed. Matter of fact, let's read that. I don't want to mess that up, because all this works together. See, and again, he says, Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, considering all that he has done and going to do, I mean, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will of God. Intent of God. Again, God wants us to respond to every situation as Jesus would respond, as God would respond. Again, that takes some practice. And again, this is, again, but you can't do this because, again, like I said, I give you one good area, in the world thinks we should never forget what happened with slavery. Okay, if I remember it, what? I remember the past. How is it that we don't remember how we got out of it? We didn't have a race war. We didn't have a riot. We didn't burn down the White House. What did we do to get out of slavery? We prayed. Now, they can argue and deny all they want. I remember during the time. See, and they didn't really understand prayer as we do today. But they can't deny that God brought us up. He broke down that wall. See? And the more we learned about the word, and now this is why Satan is pushing, working overtime to try to push it back. It's too late now. That cat's out the bag. See, that cat's out the bag. Prayer ain't going to stop until the rapture comes. Then they're on their own end. Okay. So now let's go one chapter over to Timothy 3:16. You got to get this. Okay, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, okay, the pattern of life, understanding God, what he is, what ain't, for reproof, okay? If you're wrong, you're going to be, you know what, don't get caught up so much in your pride that you can't accept being wrong about something, particularly in this area. Man, we know. The more I learn, the more I realize what I don't know. I mean, we're trying to learn the mind of an omniscient person. We don't know how the depth of that. I mean, I was recently watching a video on the Hubble scope and what they see out of space. I remember it was a big disappointment to them. They knew when they fired it up, they thought at least they would be able to see the surface of another planet beyond the nine that's near us. My God moved them back. And all they saw was how big the universe is. And I thought about it. I looked at it. The universe is growing at the speed of light, constantly expanding. And compared to God, it is to God what the earth is to the universe. It is so small. Think about that. If you could get to the end of the universe, this is the God of your salvation. This is why this is why we have to learn this. He wants to turn us loose in the universe. You know, one of these rich men just broke on there and went up in space in their little private gitmos, you know. Okay, God wants us to go there, but he got a plan for us to go there without the expense. You don't have to be a billionaire to do it. But that's tremendous power, because the same power it takes to lift that thing up, if used incorrectly, could destroy. Same thing here. I mean, you got to get this. I know it's deep, but I tell you what, resolve the deepness. Ask God about it. Ask God is what he's saying. Ask God is what I'm saying so. Because then you begin to see this differently. I was watching a particular person on TV and they're expanding their business. Why? Because they know what prayer would do for their business. They know that they can believe God to take down any opposition that they encounter. They know whatever Satan throw up, they can overcome. They can succeed in it. See, this is the other thing. Thank God, amen, I didn't get past that, because that was supposed to be the first part of what I was going to say. It's not just a bunch of rules and regulations, and that's all you're going to do in your life. God has a standard. Okay, he has conditions. The promises of God, there's a promise of God for everything you want to do, okay? But there are conditions. There's a standard that God requires. You know, I wrote down, I have a series called, you know, seven causes of prayer failure. It's like, Number one, you got to have a covenant with God. You can't follow the Spirit of God if you're not linked up. You can't get, you know, it's a nice thought. You can tell yourself. People have convinced, I know people convince themselves that they can access God in the same way that I can, but that's just a delusion in their mind. It's not possible. See, it's not possible because they're alive and God is blessing them. They're being blessed because there are people around them praying for them. You know, it ain't, you know, I remember years ago telling God that he was part of the problem and how bright I was. You know, if you keep blessing these people, how they going to know that they need you? But see, there, you know, I know God was like shaking his head, like that boy. But that's what the word mercy is about. When you goofy like that and God don't drop a lightning bolt down on you. All right. And then you can't walk in what God calls sin, okay? And I'm not going to say you must, and this is the biggie, you must control your mouth. You must control your mouth, okay? Worship God with tithe. It's part of your worship. It's part of your worship. If you can't believe God for that, you know, I hear this and I believe this and I'm seeing it right now, the wealth transfer. You know, I used to tell people, they're going to get the $15 an hour because they deserve it. See, pay wasn't based on how much education you had. Because I know people got education that's just totally fruitless, useless. They got a degree, they don't have a skill set. Whereas an electrician has a skill set, he don't have a degree. You know, but you need an electrician. I needed one the other day. You know, it took me 2 hours to put a light switch in. Then I got shocked. But the fact is, and even at that, even if you do, if you got a degree, you should be trying to be a millionaire. I mean, why not? But again, all that, to get those things done, you gotta be in alignment with God. He wants you to be there. That's what he wants. If that's what you want, that's what he wants. But listen, you know, you get into a different level with the government when you start making more money. Okay, walk or pursue the will of God. That's what this message is about. That's what all the messages are about. All the messages are about doing what God say do, how he say do, when he say do, when you don't want to do it. Most of the time, okay? You got to forgive all offenses. That's another one. You know, people, that's what I'm talking about. I realized slavery was ugly, and I've seen more. I've experienced racism. I've experienced it firsthand, okay? I've seen a burning cross, okay? But I'm not going, look at all white people. I don't even like using that term. All the other people and think and look at them as though they're some evil, you know, because some of that, I ain't going to even relate to what that person called them. But again, God has made it very clear. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for your enemy. We talked about that. Pray for your enemy. Because why? Jesus, that's what he said. That's his commandment. Because God wants them saved too. They're blinded by the devil. Be grateful that ain't you. Because if they don't get delivered, guess where they end up? There ain't no KKK in heaven. As much as they thought there was of God. I see a person the other day, senator, you know, talking about God is a racist. And I had to pray for him, you know, because I saw it. I saw it. It became my responsibility to pray for him. And I can't just pray, okay, Lord, listen, bless that sucker because he's retired. I can't do that. I have to approach him with the same compassion that God had for me when I was a drug addict and a thief. See how that works? We forget. I don't forget. That's probably why it's in. So you have to forgive, and you must serve God in prayer. God can't do anything in this earth without prayer. You know, my pastor announced that we'll be having some prayer meetings, which means they're going to last. It's probably 2 to 8 hours, depending on what God called. God called 2 to 8 hours of prayer. That means people are going to come in. Some people are going to be there for the whole period. Some are going to be there for part period, come in there before work and leave and come after work or whatever they're going to come. Why? Because nothing is done in the world without that. Nothing is done. The reason our $30 million facility is paid off because of prayer. We were taught, we get a revisits prayer every year one way, form, or another because you get new people. And they need to know. A lot of things don't get done. I'm convinced if you've seen some of the flooding going on in Germany, they didn't even, you know, God would have gave them some instructions. He would have either told them to get up out of there, gave them the means to get up out of there, or he could have stopped it. I mean, we have more access than Elijah had. All right? Man, this is moving fast. I thought it was going to take longer. All right? So, like I say, but I right there, what I just wanted to give you was this is not, they're not, all the Bible isn't written just because they was bored and they didn't have nothing to do with God. Was just, let me give these a bunch of rules and regulations and see what they do with them. You know, there's a reason for this. Why do people go to college? They learn disciplines. They learn disciplines for whatever they're going to college for. They're learning disciplines for that particular field. They're learning to manage themselves in those areas. And God is talking about making us, listen, these are not homilies. He made us kings and priests. We're being prepared for those roles. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. Think about how old you are right now. And then think about that for 1,000 years. Now, it's going to be extremely different, okay, because, again, a lot of the limitations you have now, you won't have then. But the access to destructive power that you don't have now, you will have then. It's just tremendous. It's tremendous. So you got to remember that. You know what I mean? And again, you know, when it's talking about worshiping God, that if you've been in the habit of going every day without taking a few minutes to worship God, I mean, praise your name, I bless you, Lord, I give you glory, Lord. And you don't even have to be loud with it. You can say, I praise your name, I bless you, Lord, you're worthy. While you're driving your car, God is mobile because you want your mind to be there. And is the devil going to mess with you? Yes, right after that. Right after that, somebody will cut you off in traffic. Right after that, somebody will steal your coffee at work. Right after that, somebody will steal your sandwich at work. Right after that, something going to happen. But you don't just immediately be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Remember the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Because you want to keep your power flow going. That's the other thing. The commanding angels. I haven't said this recently. Saints, and particularly you that have children. You know, I never leave home. I keep angels like me because they get to do something every day. I tell them, I give them an assignment every day, 7 days a week. See, they like it. You know, they're angels. That's what it says, Hebrews 1:14. They're ministering spirits to serve us. That's their job. And they want to do it. You want to command. They're talking about with your children. You have an ability and an authority. When you're in Christ, you have that covenant through Christ. Command angels, when you send your kids to school, do not send them to school without angelic covering. Too many things. If it did not require it, now I haven't examined every situation that happened with children to see what the conditions were, but I'll tell you this. One thing I can tell you from experience and having gone through that period of time, when I had my children and knowing that the only way I could keep them protected because I wasn't going to be around all the time was to assign angels to do it. And then it takes you, what, 15 seconds to say that prayer, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I command the angels to encamp around about my children as they go to and fro. That will, angels can protect them from disease. They can see disease. See, what's microscopic to us, what we are limited to, they are not limited to. A lot of things that's going on right now, you know, people, if you see me on Facebook, I'll leave a statement saying, welcome to training day final exam. We are in the final exam. We got all the information that no saints have ever had throughout history. We got books, we got the internet, we got radio. There is no reason for us not to know what to do. We got, I can binge the word. I get new broadcasts every day. It's no reason. And for us to have all this and not use it, then, you know, when the floods come, then, you know, I know some innocent victims in that, but it is what it is. But it can. Anything that is abnormal can be resisted. And these floods that are coming, in time they say you get a month of rain in 2 hours. That's abnormal. But if you don't speak against the prince, they know, they get a weather forecast, but if they don't speak against the prince of the power of the air and take authority over him and seek God as to who specifically, he'll tell you what to pray. I mean, that's what you do, you know. That's what I'm convinced. If you're not, then, you know, like I said, I ain't had to sweep water out of my basement. You know, the most I've ever had in my house was a 3-foot circle near a sewer, one of the drains. That was it. Most I've ever had. And that's because the devil sneak one in on me. He can sneak them in, but if I hear a broadcast and say the wind's going to be 80, 90 miles an hour, I'm resistant. But that ain't normal, okay? Same thing out there, and if y'all out there on the West Coast, y'all got to start resisting them fires. You, before they get started, you got to resist. But again, you can't do this if you're not walking in the Word of God. That's what this is all about. We're here to learn to walk in the power of God forever. Think about that. Have you ever thought about forever? But anyway, so let us conclude here. Again, number one, in case somebody just happened to listen, now or after the rapture, the number one thing about being able to access the power of God is you have to have a covenant. The only way you can have that is through Jesus Christ. And God made it so easy that even a 2-year-old can accomplish it. And all you have to do is say this, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe he died for me on Calvary's tree. bearing my sins to me. I believe that he rose from the dead and he is alive right now. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am born again and saved right now. Father, I thank you for it. All right, we look forward to next week, and maybe we'll continue to get into this one way, form, or another. It's always about doing what God say do, and where he say do it, how he say do it. And remember this, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom.
Peace.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Hallow, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watching, you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray, I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun and you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun and you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong when it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled
life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.